If you think about God, aren't there many things that come to your mind? We think about the power of the Almighty God. We think about the wisdom that God possesses. We think about the glory of God. And we also are impressed with what is known as the omnipresence of God. He is being all places, at all times, at the same time. It's amazing, isn't it? But there is another quality that individuals always think of when it comes to God, and rightly so. And it is the quality known as the love of God. Folks, if we were to rank the various qualities of God Almighty, love would be the one that would be placed at the very top of most individuals' list, would it not? It is the love of God that appeals to the sentimentality and to the feelings of mankind. And if individuals were to suggest a sermon for a preacher, one of the sermons they would suggest is, we want to hear a lesson on the love of God. So tonight, I'm going to preach to you on the subject, the power of God. No, I'm kidding. We're going to be talking about the love of God. For our first point, we want to make note of this. God is love. 1 John 4:9 says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Folks, the very essence of God is love. The very nature of God is love. God is love, we might say, through and through. There is not one ounce of Him that is not love. When we think about God being love, we can take all the characteristics that make up love, and God possesses every one of those characteristics. Anywhere in our world where love is expressed, even in the smallest degree, anywhere there is love, God is the source head for that particular manifestation of love. My friends, everything that God does for His creation, everything that He does for His people, springs out of His fountain of love, His divine nature. The Apostle Paul was right when he said, God is the God of love. 2 Corinthians 13:11. So first, God is love. Secondly, God manifests His love toward mankind. And folks, He manifests His love in all kinds of ways. God is not a being who merely says, I love you, and then stops at that. Oh no, God is a God who tells us that I love you, but then He goes and manifests Himself and displays His love on a regular basis. Question. How many of you have committed sin this past week? Now, you don't have to raise your hand, boy. We're going to be expecting you to come forward. I'm kidding. But we have. We've all sinned, have we not? Every one of us could write down something that we've done this week wherein we have transgressed the will of the Almighty God. Did you die at that very moment? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ecclesiastes 18:20. And yet not one of us passed away because of our sin this past week. You look around from time to time and you see individuals who they're faithful for a little while, and then all of a sudden they're unfaithful. And they're gone, maybe for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe a month, maybe 2 months. And then all of a sudden, they're back with us. Here's what's interesting, folks. In our sin and in our unfaithfulness to God, God is manifesting His love toward us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, Paul gives us a list of the qualities of love. And listen to how he starts that list. Charity suffereth long. Aren't you glad of that? If God were to strike me dead the first time I sinned, some days I might not even get out of bed. If God were to strike individuals dead the moment they became unfaithful, folks, many of us would not be sitting in these pews at this very moment. But you see, God is love, is He not? And He displays that love in His long suffering to us. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Folks, every moment that passes and you're still in your sin, every moment that passes and you're still unfaithful to God, God is displaying His love toward you through His long suffering, wanting you to repent and turn back to Him. But the biggest manifestation, the biggest display of the love of God, the biggest picture that could have ever been given to mankind, took place just outside of the city gates of Jerusalem, did it not? On a hill called Golgotha, Calvary, both words meaning the place of the skull. And there the Son of the living God was led out, and there He was crucified between two thieves as if a common criminal, and shed His blood for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. There, my friends, is the largest display of God's love that could ever be manifested. Herein is manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might be saved or live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. Notice how John begins that wording. In this was manifest the love of God toward us. Folks, the cross of Calvary is a display to all humanity as to how much God loves us. Every Sunday, we assemble around this table, do we not? And we partake of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. Just a moment ago, Carlos prayed for that. Every Sunday we come and we are reminded not just about the death, folks, but the display of the love of God for all humanity. There could have been no bigger manifestation. Point three. The love of God contains all kinds of benefits to mankind. We like benefits, don't we? It's amazing to me. And when you don't have benefits, you get a little bent out of shape, don't you? You go hire on at a job, and one of the questions that you ask is what? What are the benefits? They say, well, we don't really have any benefits here. But they'll pay you $50 an hour. Folks, you'll go down the street and take a job for $20 an hour because it has benefits, won't you? I've seen people do it. Need that health care. Need dental. Need eyes. Need a retirement plan. Need some days off. Need vacation. We love benefits. Well, folks, the reason Jesus died was in order to give mankind benefits. Did you know that? There are benefits to the love of God. One of them is the forgiveness of sins. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelation 1, verse 5. A while ago we quoted 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, listen to Him, that we might live through Him. Folks, eternal life. Not having to face the sentence of death because of our sins is one of the blessings of the love of God. We have escaped the wrath of God, number three. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved, listen to Him, from wrath through Him. Romans 5, 8 and 9. One of these days, the wrath of God is going to be poured out on all of humanity, is it not? One of these days, the heavens are going to open and Jesus is going to come forth with all of His holy angels. And folks, the wrath of God will be poured out on the entirety of the world except those who have received the benefits of the love of God. Fourthly, there is reconciliation as one of the benefits of the love of God. Because that when we were yet enemies, Christ died for us and reconciled us unto God. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Another benefit of the love of God is relationship, folks. You and I are no longer outcasts, but now you and I have been brought into the family of God, and we are the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Folks, I don't think that you and I really comprehend the magnitude of that blessing. God is the most powerful being in all the universe, is He not? There is one and only one God. And guess what? We can be called the sons of that God. What a blessing that is. There is also reward, isn't there? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, we've just listed six benefits of the love of the Almighty God. The forgiveness of sins, life, being able to escape the wrath of the Almighty God, a relationship with the Father, reconciliation to the Father, and reward of eternal life. I don't know about you, but if I were going into a job interview and they sat me down and they said, hey, here are six benefits that we are willing to give you. Folks, if you understand spiritual things, you ought to latch onto those benefits as quickly as you possibly can. And we have only touched the hem of the garment with regard to those benefits, haven't we? Point number four. With regard to the love of God, God loves all men, doesn't He? John 3:16, we read it a while ago. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Two words are in there, aren't they? That tell us for whom Jesus died and tell us who can be saved. For God so loved the world, folks. That's every person. There is not one individual who has been excluded from the love of the Almighty God. Now notice what He says. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. There's not one person on the face of this earth who has to die and be lost in a devil's hell. Not one. God's love can save all men. The Apostle Paul said this, for this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. Question. Did the love of God send Jesus to this earth? Yes. Paul says that one of the purposes of His coming was to save sinners, didn't he? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Question: how many people are sinners? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. Folks, Jesus came and Jesus died, and the love of God was manifested not for one, not for two, not for a handful, not for those who the Calvinists tell us are predestined to eternal life. Folks, Jesus came and he died for all men, every individual. God loves every person on the face of this earth. Point number five. The love of God was intended to have a response from mankind. Folks, God just didn't give his love just so that we know that he loves us. God extended his love in order to get a response of love from us. Isn't that what the Bible says? 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him. But why? Because he first loved us. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5:19, he makes this statement: for the love of Christ constraineth us. Folks, what was it that motivated Paul? What moved Paul into action? It was the love of Christ that did that. You see, God's love is intended to cause us to respond back to him, and it is to be a loving response from us. A lot of individuals walk around, don't they? And they proclaim, oh, I love God. But folks, it's not enough to mouth the words, is it? God knows whether you love him or whether you don't love him. And it's not just by the mouthing of words to him that he knows that. He has another test, does he not? And that test is obedience to his will. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 15. Listen to what Jesus says. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John 14, 21. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5, verse 3. Over and over and over again, the Bible says, here's how you love God: by keeping his commandments. Let's stop for just a moment and let's make application to the subject of baptism. Question one: is baptism a command of God? Oh, absolutely. Acts chapter 10, 47 and 48. Peter, in the household of Cornelius, says this: can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which receive the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Folks, baptism is a command. If it was a command for the household of Cornelius, it is still a command for lost mankind today. Here's question number two: is it a command to be obeyed before one is saved, or after one is saved? Simple question, isn't it? Let's listen to what Jesus has to say about it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. What did Jesus say? In that particular statement, where is baptism located? Is it located before salvation, or is it located after salvation? Jesus has it placed before salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Somehow mankind has reversed that, haven't they? Now I want you to think about that. The command of God is to be baptized. The command of God is to be baptized before you can be saved. Now what if you won't obey that command? You don't love God. It's that simple. Oh, you can say you do. You can believe you do. You can leave this building and be angry with me and say, well, that preacher don't know what he's talking about down there.
says I don't love God just because I won't be baptized.
Folks, it's true. If a man will not be baptized in order to have his sins forgiven, in order to be saved, that man does not love God. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's that simple. You see, the love of God demands a response from you, and part of that involves baptism in order to be saved. It's that simple, folks. Point number six. This is probably the most important point that I make tonight. Okay? If you don't remember anything else from this lesson, you remember what I'm about to say. The point is entitled this: God's love in perspective. I'll make this statement two times. Number one, God loves all men unconditionally. But the benefits of the love of God are conditional. Let me make it one more time. You can write it down. God loves all men unconditionally. But the benefits of the love of God are conditional. Folks, I don't care where a man lives. I don't care what his socioeconomic standing is. I don't care what his race is. I don't care what creed he holds to. I don't care how deep in sin that man is at this present time. God loves all. He loves everybody. That'll never change. He loves you. But folks, the reality is this. The benefits of God's love that we talked about earlier, every one of those are conditional in nature. Listen to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. A while ago we said one of the benefits of the love of God is the reward in the hereafter. Is there any condition placed upon that? Yes, blessed are they that do His commandments. You see, the benefits of the love of God are conditional. The love of God itself is unconditional. He loves all. But He says, if you want the benefits of my love, here are the conditions. Now, folks, what does that mean? It means this. You are not guaranteed the forgiveness of sins just because God loves you. You're not guaranteed of that. You are not guaranteed to be acceptable in the sight of the Almighty God in the last day just because God loves you. The love of God does not guarantee your reward in heaven. And the love of God is not just going to accept any old excuse that you throw at Him as to why you can't do this and you can't do that. God loves you. Folks, the benefits of His love are conditional. Now, church, we need to remember something with regard to the love of God as well. The love of God isn't going to accept my little flimsy excuses either. I can have all the excuses in the world. I bet the Lord's got an encyclopedia of them, don't you? The excuses of man as to why he can't do this and why he can't do that. And folks, the love of God doesn't just, oh yes, I accept your excuses. Doesn't do that. The love of God does not mean that God is going to answer every prayer that I pray in a positive manner. The love of God does not teach that I'm going to live a prosperous, wealthy, rich life here. I don't care what the televangelist The love of God doesn't say that life here is going to be easy for you. In fact, sometimes the love of God says that life here is going to be extremely difficult for you. You see, we've got to get God's love in perspective, do we not? Man has manipulated, and man has twisted, and man has perverted, and man has made the love of God something that it was never intended to be, folks. God loves everybody, but not everybody is going to be saved, because you see, there's conditions placed upon the benefits of that love. Point number 7, the love of God is our example to follow. A new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. John 13:34. The Apostle Paul put it in these words in Philippians 5:1-2. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Wow. I hear individuals make this statement sometimes. I love you with the love of the Lord. I believe there's even a youth song that uses those kind of words. Can you imagine somebody walking up to you, putting their arms around you, giving you a big hug, and whispering in your ear, I love you with the love of the Lord. My first question is this: do you really? Because, folks, that's a tall order, is it not? That's a tall order. And I wonder if you've really sat back and really taken thought of what you just said to me. But here's the second point. If they tell me that, the reality is this: that is exactly how they're supposed to love me, with the love of the Lord. When we think about the love of God, folks, the love of God is a tremendous thing, is it not? You turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Paul says that God has loved us with a great love, a superabundant love, a love that is so full that you cannot even begin to contain it, folks. The love of God is tremendous, and sadly, man misunderstand it. They manipulate it. And even worse, they reject it, don't they? The love of God. We leave you with two quotes from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus said that one of the things that he wanted for them is this: to know the love of Christ, which passeth all understanding. Isn't that something? Here's a love that is so great, so marvelous, so tremendous, so magnificent, that it passes all understanding. And yet Paul says, one thing that I desire for you is for you to know that love. Wow. It's a pretty strong statement. Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And he says this: and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Folks, isn't that what we should wish upon all of God's children? The grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. May it be with all of us in this audience. My friends, there's nothing I can do to change the love of God. Did you know that? The love of God has been manifest. It's been displayed. It's out here for all men. You can do everything you want to. All the bad stuff you want to. And guess what you can never do? You can never change the love of God for you. But just because He loves you doesn't mean He's going to save you. He's placed conditions on the benefits of His love. And if you've not obeyed the gospel, those benefits are not yours at this hour. Can you imagine standing before God in the last day and not being accepted of Him? How sad. How sad. Especially if you sat in an audience like this and heard lessons like these and not be accepted of the Almighty. My friend, maybe you need to change courses this evening. Accept the benefits of those love. You see, God isn't going to force you to love Him. He's not going to do that. That's not the kind of God He is. You are not a puppet in the hands of God. He's given you free choice. He's given you a will. And He says this, I have loved you. Now you prove that you love Me. Have you done that? If you're not a Christian, we want you to be tonight. Obey the gospel. If you believe, you can repent of sins, confess His name, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Dear Christian, what about you? Does your life manifest a love for God through your total, complete obedience to His will? Maybe you need to repent of sins and ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?